I think Linda's on the way back. I think Lucy's here. Brittany, James, Linda will join us in a second, I'm sure. What have you just done? You've made a spectacle of yourself in front of us all. What have you just done? It is a most unusual activity. I can't think of anything else quite like it that we do in society, if you can call this society, which is quite so odd, unusual, and yet so striking and so significant. And so what I'm going to talk about today is just two different aspects. There's lots and lots of aspects of baptism, but just two different aspects of what this might mean. I do remember going to one particular baptism, and there were six people being baptized. And unlike, very sensibly, we do it with two folk in the pool doing the baptisms, there was just one guy. And the last chap, they did it in order of height for some reason, and the last chap that came down was clearly, he was in Wales, and he was clearly a lock, you know, from the middle of the scrum. He was about 6 foot six, and he came down into the water, and they shuffled right up this end, And the pastor who was doing it looked up and he said, "Lord, give me strength." And you understood what he meant. It's a most unusual activity, isn't it? The most unusual place I ever did a baptism, which I was involved with, was actually in a four-star hotel in Hong Kong with the indoor swimming pool with windows that looked out over Hong Kong Harbour. It was really spectacular. And we used the swimming pool. But being Hong Kong, where space is everything, we had a roped-off bit at one end, and they were doing swimming lessons the other side of the rope. So we were in this place, and we actually did all of our singing and our testimonies and so on in this public swimming pool while we did the baptism. It was quite impressive. I'm going to, perhaps something like that, I'm going to mention two different ideas behind what baptism is, just two today, and leave that with you because I can't go on very long, you'll be glad to know today. Not as long as usual, I've promised. First of all, baptism is about making a statement. And secondly, it's about performing a reenactment, okay? Making a statement and performing a reenactment. Let's think about making a statement first. Well, what is making a statement? Well, this is a dictionary definition according to, I think it's Wiki Dictionary, creating a certain impression, communicating an idea or mood without using words. Well, we did have a few words, but what the impression you got of today will undoubtedly be not the words. Hopefully you can remember some of the testimony, but it won't be the words, it'll be actually the act of going into the water and coming up again. And that's what we all saw. And the four people who were baptized were making a statement. Now you might not like that phrase, you might think, oh, I don't think making a statement sounds very good. So the church all through history has had a different phrase. It's talked about a sacrament. A bit different from a statement, but got a similar idea, a sacrament. And baptism is a sacrament. St. Augustine defined it this way 1,500 years ago. A sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and invisible grace. What's happened to the four who were baptized didn't happen when they went in the pool. That was the outward sign. What happened for Linda 35, 37 years ago, I think she said. For others, much more recently. But that's why we have the testimonies, because they talked about the point at which each one of them made a decision to take Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That was the inward, the invisible grace, and then we witnessed the outward sign of that in the pool just now. So what is this statement then that they are going to make? Well, it's interesting to think about why we do this. One of the reasons we do this, and it's not just about the individuals making a statement, it's because Jesus himself asked people to make this statement to demonstrate that they were obeying and following him. The very first time that lots of Christians were baptized at the same time was on the day of Pentecost. And it says this, Peter said to them, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so in this picture, we can see God's rescue plan. We can see Jesus dying to forgive sins. And we can see the gift of the Holy Spirit given to each person who is a Christian to mark them out as someone who belongs to Jesus. So this statement they're making, here's the first thing that all four of them are saying, whether they realized it or not. They're saying, I'm new. I've got a new start. Something's happened and it's special and I'm new. 2 Corinthians says, I am a new creation in Christ. And in the reading we had, we read this. We're living a new life. We're alive to God in union with Jesus Christ. Now, this is the picture of what's already happened. When they accepted Jesus, that's when they started this new creation. But it's a rivetingly exciting thing about being a Christian that you get a new start. You get the slate wiped clean. It's fantastic. And we also learn that, this is a hard phrase, this, we're dead to sin and alive to God. Now, sin is a very odd word. It upsets people. They don't like that phrase. And many people in our society, when we hear that word, we think of it far more in terms of crimes or scandals, don't we? And they are sin, clearly. I'm not saying they're not. But actually, when the Bible tells us about sin, and when God talks to us in our hearts about what is sin, it is anything that means that we don't put God first. Anything that means we don't put God first. Not only that, more than that still, it is not just stuff that we do that we're ashamed of or that we know is wrong, but actually, it is stuff that's been done to us, that's damaged us, that's hurt us, that's caused problems for us in our life. And that is also cleaned up and sorted out by Jesus. You see, when we use the word sin as Christians, we are not just perpetrators of sin, we're also victims of sin. But both get sorted out through Jesus. That's the message that we're sharing at this baptism. The statement we're being made is to say this: all of that bad stuff in our lives is now dealt with. Quite remarkably, and I say this to encourage the four that have just been baptized, even bad stuff that's going to happen to you in the future can still now be sorted out. Even bad stuff that you do in the future can still be forgiven. And that is wonderful. All the bad stuff is dealt with, it's gone. It doesn't have the power to hold you or to harm you anymore because Jesus has dealt with it and you are now alive to God in Christ. What a brilliant statement to make. That's what they've said to us today. We're new, we're dead to sin, we're alive to God. Brilliant statement to make. Now, just to let the four off the hook, I found this little help that's rather good here. The best of me is yet to come. I keep telling my wife this, and she's very hopeful. But it's true for all of us, isn't it? The best is yet to come. We're under construction. The fact that we've just baptized four people doesn't turn them into saints. I could probably ask lots of people to give testimony to that, couldn't I? But that's how it'll be. And we'll have good days and bad days because we're under construction. God, the Holy Spirit, has been given to us, but he is transforming us day by day, making us ever more like Jesus. And the best is still to come. So that was the first one, making a statement in this sacrament. The second one, performing a reenactment. Now, I don't know whether you're into reenactments or not and what you think they are. This is what a reenactment is. I don't know if you've ever been to one of these. Sometimes people will actually all dress up in old clothes and act out a battle that used to happen in the past and use it as a sort of great way of looking back at history and seeing what it was like. Again, the definition of a reenactment in the Wiki Dictionary, it's an action of performing a new version of an old event, usually in a theatrical performance, commonly used for the reenactment of historical battles. Well, I wonder if you think about this as a reenactment, a theatrical performance, perhaps. Well, it had an impact. I'm not sure it was theatrical. It had an impact, but it was certainly living out or acting out a new version of things that happened in the past. And that's why it's as it is. Let me give you some idea. This is a picture. I found this picture on the internet. I thought it was good, but it's not ideally shown up here. Maybe you can just see it. So what it's talking about here is that baptism is actually a picture, like the Bible reading we had, of what Jesus did and how we identify with Jesus. So if you like, on this side, okay, we are identifying publicly with Jesus, and he was crucified. Then he was buried, and that's when, if you like, the people go under the water. It's a picture of burial, like Jesus was buried. And then coming up the other side, to the cheers, to the singing of praises to God, that's when we're raised with God. And that's why this is such a dramatic picture, this reenactment, not of what we do, but what Jesus has done for us. This reenactment picks out three things, doesn't it? It picks out the fact that Jesus was crucified. Jesus, God's only Son, came, and humankind, we weren't there, but we would have contributed had we been there, put him to death on a cross. But it wasn't a random act of violence that went wrong, because actually it was God's plan to come. And when he died once for all to break the power of sin, of the things that are the barrier between us and being alive to God. And he came and he died. And in baptism, we say this very, very strong phrase, we're crucified with Christ. We're identifying our life with his. He died. Doesn't mean we save ourselves. Only he was good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. But we identify with him as we stand. Then we go into the burial. Who do you bury? You only bury someone who's dead. You only bury someone who's dead. And the picture, although we're under the water for a second, is one of being identified through baptism with Jesus dying. Jesus didn't swoon on the cross. He didn't stand up there for a bit and then slip off quietly. He died and he was buried. And it was on the third day that he rose again. But he did rise again. It tells us that God's mighty power, God's glory, raised him from dead. And just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And this is the wonderful thing that we are promised, that this picture shows what has happened, that lifts us up from a place of being cut off from God to a place where we are in new life with him. That's what this picture is all about. And I want to finish now with an invitation, because baptism isn't just public to help those who are being baptized to declare their new status as followers of King Jesus. But it's actually there as well, so that anyone else here who perhaps doesn't yet follow King Jesus can think to themselves, what's all that about? Do I need a savior? Am I cut off from God? Do I have a promise of eternal life? There is a verse in Romans. I'll read it to you in case you can't read that. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that is a wonderful summary of all it takes on our part to take on board all Jesus did to save us. If we proclaim him as Lord, and what could be more obviously obeying Jesus than doing something as funny as this? That's declaring with the mouth and with the body that Jesus is Lord. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, so yes, he was crucified, yes, he was buried, but yes, he was raised from the dead, then you will be saved. And what does it mean to be saved? Well, it's this new life. It's the clean slate. It's the start again. A new life in union with King Jesus. This baptism, it was a reenactment of God's great rescue plan for all mankind. There is one name under heaven by which we can be saved, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the invitation is for us all. We can say death to all that bad stuff and alive to God. He promises that we can have life in all its fullness. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. There's a promise that says all who believe have eternal life. Because not only does this remind us that Jesus rose again, but it reminds us that he defeated death. And so when we look forward to a point in our lives when every one of us will reach where we die, we can know as Christians that because we are identified with Christ, we have the promise of eternal life. Those who believe in Jesus have eternal life. The power of death is broken. And that's an absolutely wonderful thing for us to be able to share. So James, Lucy, Brittany, Linda, thank you for publicly sharing your faith with us today. Thank you for reenacting God's amazing rescue plan. And thank you for bringing to each one of us today, again, that public invitation that whoever declares Jesus to be Lord and believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead, then we can be saved. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were crucified and buried. But thank you that you are alive today because God raised you from the dead as God's amazing rescue plan for us. Help us to respond to you. Help us to accept you as our Lord and our Savior, to be dead to sin and alive with you. Amen. Outside, if anyone would like one, there are little books called Journey into Life on the table outside. If you would like to know any more about what I've said, if you'd like to pray about becoming a Christian, or if you'd like to know more about baptism, please talk to me, or there'll be a couple of people wearing badges saying, I'm willing to pray with you as well. Please talk or pray with them. And also there are copies of things like John's Gospel and Matthew's Gospel on the table outside as well, if you would like them. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.